Welcome to Jill's Movies and Junk. I'm Notorious JM.
And I'm Julian.
And today's episode is going to be about Ghostbusters. We're going to do a Ghostbusters retrospective. It's one of my favorite movies. And I don't know, do you like Part 2?
As a kid, I liked Part 2 a lot. But I think it could just because it was, I was a kid, had a lot of colors and monsters flying around.
Usually like the movies there are the sequels that other people hate, I guess you could say. We were kids.
Yeah, as a kid I did. I thought Temple of Doom was the best Indiana Jones.
Me too. I thought Batman Returns was a better movie.
Yeah. Well, I still think Batman Returns is the better movie.
I guess. I like Batman now, but Batman Returns, even though it's still kind of goofy, I still love it. I love the way it looks.
I watched Predators 2 a lot for some reason.
That's the only one I had. I only had Predators 2.
Maybe I only had Predators 2. I remember watching it a lot, though.
All right, before we get to the movie, let's talk about the idea for Ghostbusters. Wasn't originally the way it was. It started off actually with different actors, as far as I remember. They originally wanted Eddie Murphy and John Belushi.
Yeah.
Also John Candy as well.
Yeah, John Candy was going to play the Rick Moranis role.
Oh, he was? I was unaware. I thought he was going to be a Ghostbuster.
No, he was going to be Rick Moranis. And according to the commentary, he wanted to have a German accent and like two miniature schnauzers. They had filmed some stuff with him in the movie.
Did they?
Yeah. And Ivan Reitman didn't like all the ideas and stuff he was doing, so he quit.
Oh, so I was wondering why he wasn't in the movie. I thought he was just not in it for whatever reason.
Well, like, we know John Belushi died, and apparently Eddie Murphy decided to go make a Beverly Hills Cop
instead. So, yeah, so he was actually busy with that, but he did want to do it. And just ask you a question. How do you think it would have turned out if Eddie Murphy would have still been in the movie?
It would have been weird, because, like, when you think of Eddie Murphy, I guess, in the 90s, like 80s, he seems like a big star. And it'd be weird to see him and Bill Murray compete for a screen time in the movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was going to be Winston. And they said he had a bigger role in the movie.
Yeah, they cut it down and ended up bringing in Ernie Hudson, who was actually just a regular actor. Versus, like, everyone else were comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. Like, he doesn't really see like he fits in with the Ghostbusters, I guess you could say. It's always that question of, is he really a Ghostbuster or is he just hired help?
Yeah, is he an employee of Ghostbusters Incorporated?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I guess technically he is a Ghostbuster, but at the same time he's not one of the Ghostbusters, like, original members.
I see, like, a lot of scientist stuff going on, like they're checking out their PKE meters and just doing whatever.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, I'm just here to get the job done.
One of the ideas for Ernie Hudson was he was a security guard for Ghostbusters. That, like, they just needed help and he would help them out.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean,
It'll explain a little bit more, but I see him as a Ghostbuster. But at the same time, there's been certain video games, like, there was one of the Sega, that didn't have his character at all. It was just the original three Ghostbusters.
The original Nintendo game, I think, only had the original three.
Yeah, so it kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, maybe that's what spawned the, is he really a Ghostbuster, an employee of Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I mean, he's the only one that's still going to conventions, currently. Still wearing a Ghostbuster attire.
Yeah, he was at, like, Austin Comic Con, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And people said he was really nice.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Far away from his live and let die days.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a scene by scene for the movie? So, let's start with the very first scene.
I had other Ghostbuster shit I was going to say.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. The original title, not Ghostbusters. They had names like Ghost Smashers and Ghost Stoppers and shit like that. They just sort of came up with the name Ghostbusters on their own. And then doing research, they found out that Filmation...
Yeah.
Or Funimation? Filmation, I think.
They owned the Ghostbuster cartoon?
No. They had a live-action Ghostbusters show from, like, 75 and 76.
Did they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And later on, when the movie became famous, that's when Filmation did their Ghostbusters cartoon.
Oh, okay.
And those characters are based on the characters from the live-action show.
Oh, okay. I never knew there was a live-action show.
Yeah.
I only knew there was the cartoon. I knew that's the reason why they had to change their show to the real Ghostbusters, which I think it's kind of a dick move, to be honest.
You know what else is funny about that?
We look back at it now.
What else is funny about the real Ghostbusters cartoon is, the guy who does the voice of
Garfield?
Yeah. Yeah. Is Bill Murray's character.
Yeah, Bill Murray played Garfield.
Yeah, and Bill Murray went to play Garfield. Also, Arsenio Hall is Winston.
I heard about that. I didn't know if it was true or not.
And, wow, what's his name? Joey Gladstone?
Oh, shit.
Dave Coulier went on to do a voice in Real Ghostbusters, too.
Was he, I think he took over for Bill Murray?
Yeah, I think he was the Bill Murray character.
Yeah. So it was Peter Venkman.
Yeah. And the original, like, idea for Ghostbusters was that sometime in the future, the Ghostbusters were like a SWAT team or like a they were kind of like the paramedics or firefighters of the day.
Yeah.
Stopping ghosts and shit. And, apparently the script that they turned in was too expensive to film.
Wow.
I think the director said it would cost like $300 million to film the script as written.
And yeah, that's like way too much for a comedy.
Well, it's way too much for like 1984.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And, like, he had all kinds of goofy ideas. Like, the Ecto-1 would fly out of the Ghostbusters headquarters to begin with, and all kinds of shit.
Wow. I knew about the SWAT team kind of thing. I knew they kind of wanted to use that for Part 3 as well. They were going to change the vehicle to an updated vehicle and have, like, SWAT material for Part 3 at one point during, like, the early 2000s, I think. But it never came to fruit.
A good thing too. That doesn't sound like a very good movie.
Yeah, it was like SWAT team material, like body armor and stuff. Which I don't know why they need body armor against ghosts.
Oh well, but Dan Aykroyd's a big fan of ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
Have you seen his TV show where he talks about like paranormal shit?
Yeah, I seen that paranormal show he has.
And like the whole like Crystal Skull vodka is based on weird crystal skulls that are like real. I don't know. He's a weirdo.
Yeah, he's into that kind of stuff. I saw him on, According to Jim. That's like the last time I saw him act. He's probably doing something else besides that.
You would think he... Well, the show is pretty new.
Yeah, oh, besides... Yeah, but that's not really acting, I guess. Yeah, well, I guess really. Is it?
No, he's more like hosting and shit. Which is just sort of walk on screen. Hey, I'm Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, like we know who you are.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Just tell me about history's mysteries.
Yeah. Alright, we'll get into the movie?
Yeah.
All right, the movie starts off at the very beginning. It's a shot of a library, and you see the librarian moving around, walking around, doing librarian shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever they do.
Filing books.
Filing and moving carts and shit.
Looking at the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. And unbeknown to her, there's stuff happening around her. Carts flying, which I just found out recently today that I knew all of the effects were done practical.
For the most part, all the effects in the movie are practical.
Yeah, but I was unaware that how they did the cart flying. And, you know, books are flying, which I have no idea how they did that. How did they do the books flying? Was it just...
Just strings. They're on strings.
Yeah, because even in Blu-ray, you can't really tell.
No, not really.
It still stands out, like, some of the stuff they do. But you just don't really know how they did it.
There's a lot of, like... There's a scene we'll get to later that's done practically. That's pretty impressive, I guess, for the day. Maybe even now.
Yeah. But there's a lot of practical work done around her that she's missing out on. She doesn't know what's going on. Then eventually she does see something fly towards her. And that's when we see the Ghostbusters sign, I guess, or their logo.
Yeah.
And as we get into the movie, and you see that it's Egon and Ray at the beginning, right? Because Peter's doing something entirely different.
Yeah, Peter's doing some sort of study on like these two kids.
Yeah, and really he just wants to fuck this one chick.
Yeah, because the dude's getting all the answers. Like, he's getting them right occasionally.
Yeah.
And the chick's just wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, this is it. How are you doing this?
Yeah, so every time, even if the guy gets it right, he electrocutes him anyway, right?
Like, yeah.
Shocks him.
It's sort of like the Milgram experiment or something.
Yeah, but, you know, while that's happening, we get Ray and Egon going to actually investigate what's happened at the library. As they're looking around and seeing that there are some paranormal activity that has happened, don't they find slime as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, they find slime, take a little, what's it called?
Like a petri dish?
Yeah, petri dish, they use that for it. And as they're investigating, they finally do see the ghosts. And they haul ass out of there, of course, because that's like the most appropriate thing to do.
Just run away?
Yeah, run away.
And some interesting facts, I guess. The original puppet for the librarian ghost... Not the one who turns into but when she changes.
Yeah.
Was too scary, apparently, for the movie. So they didn't use the original puppet, but the original puppet did get used again in a movie called Fright Night.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know the poster with that weird face and shit?
Yeah.
That was the original librarian ghost.
Oh, that's fucking scary. That is, in fact, fucking scary. I would shit my pants if that came flying at me.
I mean, especially in 84, I was barely born. The greatest year for movies.
Yeah, I felt like the poster for Fright Night was actually more scarier than the film.
Yeah, the movie's kind of whatever. I mean, I like it, but...
I mean, at the time, I was a kid.
Yeah. It was one of those where you would go to, like, a mom-and-pop video store. You're like, I ain't written that shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's too scary. Give me Faces of Death. I need something a little more tame than that movie.
Yeah. That's that shit. You know, like, if your parents brought it home, you're like, I just watch whatever else you got in the box. Or the bag or whatever. Skip that one.
And then what's dumb is you'd eventually, like, skip it till it's nighttime, and you're like, all right, fuck it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You have to hold your hands up or hide behind a fucking blanket or something.
Yeah, that blanket was like safety, no matter what it was. It was on your bed or whatnot. With the blanket on you, you can't touch it.
Yeah.
It's like a force field.
As we all know, when you go to sleep at night and you hear something scary, just throw the blanket over you.
Throw your blanket over you. Don't let your hands or legs, like, lay over the bed where anything can grab you.
Nothing can show.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to hold the blanket up so it creates like a bubble.
Yeah.
That way they can't tell a kid's in there.
Yeah, that way they think there's nothing there.
Yeah.
God, we were fucking dumb. I'm glad no monsters or ghosts actually really did exist or fuck.
Like on a Robot Chicken, there was a kid who got scared and he put the blanket over him and the monster's all like, oh, I guess no one's here. And they start beating the bed with bats.
Yeah, beat the shit out of him. Oh, God. All right, so we cut to Peter, who's doing his test, and they go there and they kind of disturb him to tell him that they actually saw a real-life ghost. And, you know, I actually forgot. I haven't seen the movie, really sat through the movie, probably a year.
Yeah.
But I forgot how they came up with the idea of, like, let's bust it.
Well, they had already, like, they were already sort of working for, I think, NYU.
Yeah, actually, I remember now. I remember, well, they were actually doing that, and then they lost
The funding,
so they couldn't do it anymore. Yeah. So they actually went into business themselves.
That's why you see Venkman sitting outside, drinking and shit.
Yeah, drunk as hell, coming up with the idea of it.
Yeah. And it was sort of like a joke.
Yeah, but everyone took it serious. And they, the first thing they do is they buy the fire station. Mm. Which is a complete fucking wreck, if I remember. Everything's falling apart. Yeah, so much work needs to be done to it. Was it condemned when they bought it?
I don't know if it was condemned. I know it had, like, dollar signs spray painted on it and shit.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. I remember, you know, they didn't want to get it because it was so much work. Then Ray is like, man, you gotta try this pole.
Yeah. That was the selling point. Because he slid down, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. You gotta try this pole.
Apparently, like, that was a real working firehouse.
Yeah. Well, he was still up there to this very day. I've never been in New York, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I ain't gonna go looking for a goddamn fire station.
Yeah, especially one with a Ghostbusters symbol on it. Just to find it, just look around. I hear it actually was working, and it just, like, put it out there.
What do you mean?
The logo.
Oh.
And just took it away.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure the production could fucking set it up and take it down pretty easily.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, they buy this station. It's a mess. It's in shambles. But they're going to fix it up and make it better. Then they finally get a vehicle. They get a hearse. Broken down hearse. And, you know, I forgot exactly what they said they needed for the vehicle. But it was like so much stuff. Head gasket. Valve cover gaskets. All sorts of stuff wrong with it. So they got a broken down vehicle that needs to be fixed. They finally fixed that up. They get it painted. They fix up the building. They hire... What's her name?
Janine.
They hire Janine.
Oh, a thing about the ghost of the Ecto-1.
Yeah.
Is, you know when you first see it and it's all black? Apparently the original idea was for it to be all black. But when they did a few night shots, like, it was hard to see. And that's why it became, like, a white car.
Yeah, it makes it look better. Stand out on
camera. Yeah, it stands out.
Yeah. It's a more iconic look.
Yeah, the solid white car?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like they were probably... Maybe they didn't want it to be so cartoony.
Yeah.
You know, and like four kids. I have a feeling they didn't expect such a huge kid following for the movie.
Yeah, they were trying to go for something. You know, I think it's what hurt the second one was it got such a big, huge kid following. So that they tried to kid up the second one a little.
Yeah, with the Ness Advantage and shit like that.
Yeah, which actually I liked the kid version of it, I guess you could say. I liked the second one, but...
Oh, as a kid I did.
Yeah, as a kid. I still think it stands out. I just can't find it anymore.
If you ever buy the box set, I don't know if it came on Blu-ray or not.
I think they probably did release a Blu-ray box set. I'm not sure, but I know for a fact, I found the first one. I've never been able to find the second one on Blu-ray.
I don't know. See, I haven't looked for it on Blu-ray. I remember like in 2004 or something, they released the... 3-disc box set on DVD, yeah. Where it was all green.
Yeah, I know it's been released. I know the Blu-ray version has been released as an individual film, but I just haven't been able to find it yet.
Would you buy it if you could?
Hell yeah, I'll buy it. I'll buy it immediately.
I'll buy it right now.
Fuck yeah. I just haven't been able to find it. I might have to buy it online.
Maybe.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. In my home video purchases... to get back to the actual movie.
Which we're sure you're all interested in.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy owns a lot of Blu-rays. Yeah, that's why we listen to you, to hear about your Blu-ray collection.
Yeah, here we go.
Sometimes I feel like I'm actually trying to sell everyone who actually listens to us a Blu-ray player.
Sell them on shit? Well, yeah. They probably own PS3s.
They probably own PS3s or whatever.
Or Netflix. Do you even need a Blu-ray player anymore?
Not really. To be honest, I buy less Blu-rays nowadays than I did back before I got Netflix and my PS3.
Yeah, me too. I'm not so big on physical media. Like, I've been kind of buying things that are, I feel are hard to find.
Yeah. I'm more selective now. I used to buy stuff just to check it out, and then I'd be like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, now I don't do that. I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I can, like, find a preview online or something like that.
Yeah. Anywho. So they hired Janine to actually be their... secretary, actually to string their calls, mm-hmm. and see what's going on. They want to call in, and they finally get their first job. It's for a hotel.
Oh, I guess I better bring it up now.
Yeah,
because we're talking about Janine. But originally, Egon and Janine were supposed to like start a relationship. You can kind of see the little like back and forth they have occasionally.
Yeah,
like I think Venkman comes in, and she's sitting at the desk, and Egon's like underneath the desk,
yeah,
fixing shit. And they were, like, trying to hint at a relationship.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the cartoon that it became, like, anything
official. Yeah, I wondered that. I was like, they were all about each other in the cartoon.
Yeah, because in the second movie, like, she's into, what's his name? Rick Moranis' character.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it was originally planned. I feel like the Ghostbusters cartoon sort of fleshed out the world more.
Yeah, in a way. You can really look at it, and it actually really did flesh out certain things the movies didn't do. I wonder why they didn't do that.
I guess just time. Apparently, a lot of the filming was kind of on the fly and stuff. You already know, like, Bill Murray made up a lot of his own lines. And
yeah,
shit.
They say he's credited for writing the majority of the movie.
Well, for his
character. Just saying whatever the fuck he wanted to at any given time.
And they're like, fuck it, just keep
the
it fuck in.
Yeah, it's Bill Murray. I heard it was delightful to work with. They're like, okay, we're doing the scene. Bill Murray, just go. Just do it.
Okay, your motivation is you're a Ghostbuster. And go.
So that's why I'm here. Oh, anyway, let's get back to the actual movie. After they hire her, and she actually tells them that she have a job, and they go to a hotel, which is the first time we actually really truly see Slimer.
And more trivia.
Yeah.
In the movie, he's not named Slimer.
What do they call him? I know he's supposed to have been John Belushi's ghost.
No, that's just kind of like, what somebody called him on set.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's how they referred to him as, but not officially in the movie.
Well, also on set, they were calling him Onion Head for some reason.
Onion Head.
Apparently, the original script, he was supposed to stink.
Oh.
So, like, it was a name, Onion Head. I think Dan Aykroyd referred to him as John Belushi's ghost, because he was fat and ate a lot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the cartoon that he was named Slimer.
Yeah.
Also, another interesting fact, I guess, while I'm spitting him out there, yeah. The word proton pack... never said until the second part of the second movie, like about halfway through the second movie.
Yeah, because that's when they have to let Bobby Brown know he can't have one for his little brother.
Yeah, proton packs are not a toy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was also something in the cartoon. They came out with the term proton pack.
Yeah. Also, what transferred into the movie, transferred to part two, was when it ends and they show the credits, they show Slimer, and they send everybody's name, and when it ends, they show him, they're like, and Slimer. They finally used his actual name.
In the movie? The second movie?
The second movie.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
I guess they actually used it from the cartoon. Because Riot Tide, the cartoon, was actually on already.
Yeah, the cartoon had been on for a little while.
Yeah, so...
Man, that cartoon ran for, like, a good number, like, 6 seasons, I think.
Yeah, wasn't just the Ghostbusters the first game as the real Ghostbusters, and then turned into, like, Slimer and the Ghostbusters?
Yeah. And then, like, later on in the 2000s, Extreme Ghostbusters?
Yeah, because they were too extreme.
God, I wish I could look it up. There's a comic book writer who wrote a lot of episodes of Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Wow. Like a famous comic book writer?
Somebody I would know, yeah.
All right, so they do
go... Oh, I found out who it was. One of the guys who wrote a lot of the episodes for the real Ghostbusters cartoon was JMS, I guess, is what he's known as in the comic book world, or J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah.
And he's known for writing comic books. He's written some films and shit that I guess other people might know. He's really known for doing, like, a really long run on Spider-Man. Like... Okay, when you talk about Spider-Man, he's known for his era of Spider-Man. Sort of like how there's the McFarlane time of Spider-Man.
Yeah, like the McFarlane time, and then they have the, I guess, like, for example, the Frank Miller time for Batman and Daredevil.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know how certain writers are associated with certain characters?
Yeah, because they did something different with the character.
Yeah, JMS is, like, kind of associated with Spider-Man.
Like, there's a lot of stuff he's done still lasting in the character. Currently not now, I guess, but...
Well, he had to write One More Day, which led to Brand New Day.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It, with the kind of reboot they've done,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of wiped it all away in a way, but... Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of Spider-Man comics, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, I guess we'll get back to the movie.
Yeah.
So, actually, they go to the hotel. That's where I first meet Slimer, who's not really currently known as Slimer in this movie yet. Or what it's called now anyway. And they're looking around for him. They're actually searching for him. This is the first time using this kind of equipment. I remember... Is that what they said? It's nuclear?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They said it's essentially a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, essentially a nuclear bomb. And they cut it on in the elevator all together.
And back up.
And then they walk around looking for Slimer. They eventually run into him. And actually, he slimes the shit out of Bill Murray.
Yeah. And Bill Murray looks all dumb when he's laying on the ground, kind of rolling around. Because he's, like, perfectly stiff. I don't know, it just does it real weird.
He's like, he slimed me.
Yeah.
I feel so funky. Yeah, that was this cool moment. Then after that, they finally do catch him. And they said they did more collateral damage than it was actually needed for this particular scene.
It's like a... Well, first of all, I'll say, if you look closely in that scene, to have kind of a point... A reference for when they did the animation on the proton packs, the end of the gun, I guess,
yeah,
has like a light bulb on it. And if you look closely in some that scene in particular,
yeah,
you can see like the light bulb on the end of the gun. And what else was I gonna say? Oh, the video game, the first level of the video game is you go back and catch Slimer,
yeah,
in a like hotel ballroom like that,
yeah,
and they set up the idea of like. If you cause collateral damage, it's coming out of your pay and shit.
Yeah.
Which I guess you never thought of in the movie, because they do... They even write the dude who paid them to go catch Slimer.
Yeah.
They write him a fucking, like...
A bill. Yeah.
And it's all super high. I'd be like, bitch, you fucking owe me money. Look at all this stuff
you broke. Yeah, but they actually do tell him, like, hey, if you don't want to pay this, we'll actually... We'll gladly put him right back.
Yeah. And he's like, no, no, no.
So that's the first bust to actually do. And that's where we get the montage, right?
Yeah.
So now we have a montage of them busting ghosts, because it makes them feel good.
Running around. Okay, more interesting facts, I guess. those scenes of them just kind of running around in the streets and shit was their first day of shooting. And they had, like, no permits to do any of that. So they would literally just take a camera and go somewhere. All right, guys, run. And in one of the scenes, you can kind of see a security guard running after them in the background. And it's because the security guard was really, like, running after them. They're just like, oh, fuck, go, go, come on, run.
That's ridiculous. I didn't know that. So we get the montage of them busting ghosts. And then we see Dana, who's lives right across the street, right across the hall for Rick Moran's character, Lewis. And he's actually throwing a sexy party.
Yeah.
Doing a sexy dance.
And he does a sexy dance later on.
He does a little sexy dance. And he's trying to get her to stop by and actually join in the party. You can see he really likes her a lot. But, of course, he's a loser.
Yeah.
In his own right. So, like, you know. He's not gonna get with her.
He should have sang some country music to her. Probably would have gotten her in bed.
Probably would have. But yes, anyway, he's trying to get with her. It doesn't work out. She goes in, puts her food down. Eggs start popping.
Yeah.
And cooking on the counter.
Right next to a Stay Puft marshmallow bag.
Yeah. And for some reason, she decides to look at the refrigerator. Fucking Zool.
You know who the voice of Zool was? Actually, you know who the voice of Slimer and Zool was?
Who?
The director, Ivan Reitman.
Really?
Yeah.
So Dana freaks out because there's obviously demons inside her refrigerator. So that's not what you're used to seeing in a refrigerator. She sees the Ghostbusters commercial. They're cheaply made commercial.
Yeah.
Informing you if anything strange happens and paranormal activity happens to call them. She's like, hey, something strange and I had a little bit of paranormal activity just happened to me. So I'll give him a call. So she does give him a call. Peter comes out and immediately tries to fuck.
Yeah, he hits on her right away.
Yeah. Actually, he's the only person to come out, right?
Yeah.
So he's only by himself. He comes out by himself. He's checking out the situation, looking around. He's immediately trying to hit it. She has that kind of actually force him out of the apartment, basically. He's just throwing a barrage of fucking mat game at her and one-liners. Think about this for a moment. Put yourself in her shoes. You just had something really weird and scary happen to you in the apartment you live in by yourself.
You don't even have to, like, put yourself on her shoes. Imagine, like, your friend is, like, has a seizure. You call the paramedics. A paramedic shows up, starts hitting on you.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to be helping me, dude. What are you doing?
Okay, so after that, they actually hire Winston. They bring him in, and they're showing him how things work, and they show him this overly complicated fucking way to put the traps inside the containment.
No, it's like, hey, put it in here, the light turns green, you're good to go.
No, actually, they show him a couple of things he needed to do.
It wasn't that complicated.
It wasn't that complicated, but at the time, it was like, maybe as a kid for me, it was complicated.
They have a deleted scene, or maybe it's like an extended scene, where Winston talks about all his qualifications for becoming a Ghostbuster, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he's like a retired army vet. Like, he was in Vietnam. He was a paramedic. Like, he had all these, like, good qualifications and shit.
Yeah.
And the joke was supposed to be, remember they walk in?
Yeah, it's hiring him.
Is yeah. It. And she's like, he's the only one who showed up. And they're like, hire him. You're like, you got the job.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be he was overly qualified. And they were just like, ah, whatever. You showed up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they cut that out. But basically, he's sitting there when they walk in and they just hire him. So they get straight to it. And, you know, it's kind of funny to see that, the idea of that. I mean, even though they didn't really actually do this intentionally, bring him in as a character who's not involved with whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool to actually see things through his eyes.
Yeah, because he does spend, like, a bit of time being like, what the hell is this? What the
yeah.
A fucking ghost.
So it's pretty cool to see things through his eyes. To begin with, then around this time, Dana and Lewis get possessed. She's the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
No, she's a keymaster. He's a gatekeeper, or the other way around.
It's something like that. Lewis is the keymaster.
Lewis is the keymaster, and she's the gatekeeper.
That's during the party. We start to get like the dogs, the devil dogs, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, they chase him down.
And yeah, they're like showing up and stuff at his party where he's
doing that one shuffle dance.
That's great.
That one sexy shuffle dance, yeah.
And so, then he starts running in the streets, and he goes to like some tavern on the green type like restaurant.
Yeah, I think he's homeless or crazy or something.
Yeah, and apparently in the background there's like a party, like you see a bunch of balloons. The girl like who has the pink ribbon in her hair in the background is 80s pop star Debbie Gibson.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, so like he has to get possessed. Your favorite scene when Dana gets possessed.
Yeah.
When she's sitting there in a chair, all these hands come out.
And that scene where the wall explodes.
Yeah.
Practical effect.
Was it?
Yeah, she literally stood there and they blew out like the wall and shit.
Wow.
Like I said, there's a lot of clearly there's some mat work and the ghosts aren't really there, but
yeah,
for the most part, a lot of the stuff's done practically.
And the ghosts look amazing.
Yeah, they look really cool.
Yeah, a lot of the work stands out to this very day.
Like the cab driver. Well, we'll get to him. But
yeah, we get to him. He was pretty cool. He scared me as a fucking kid.
He was my favorite as a kid.
Well, I like seeing him. He scared me as a fucking kid. really terrifying. Now, you're terrifying me. Imagine getting in the fucking cab and dudes like that.
Yeah, but what about your favorite movie, Scrooged, that also had a weird cab driver?
But he was cool. He was annoying, but he was cool. It's funny because, you know, another movie with Bill Murray, by the way. Still dealing with fucking ghosts.
He can't get away from the goddamn ghost.
Yeah. He tries to throw a punch at him, but can't hit him because he's a fucking ghost.
And he's like, ah.
So he punches the wall and stuff. Anyway, God's subject. Now, if Peter Venkman was being haunted, that wouldn't have been a situation.
He would have said some one-liners, maybe ran away. Oh, isn't the montage where we get the fucking ghost blowjob?
Oh, yeah, we do get a blowjob. Yeah, cause they actually had that going on. If you really look at that scene, there's something special about that scene. It was supposed to be a dream.
Well, it was originally supposed to be a scene in the movie. Like, it was supposed to be something that actually happened.
No, it was supposed to be a dream of him wearing, like, some kind of suit. Not military suit, but, like, some kind of costume.
No, I'm telling you, they originally planned that scene to be in the movie.
Oh, and it turned into a dream.
Yeah, that's why it just kind of wobble effects and we get this weird, like, ghost blowjob thing.
Why was he dressed like that? What was the purpose of it?
I don't know.
I remember that she had him dressed up all weird for some reason and it turned into a dream.
I thought he was just in the Ghostbuster suit.
No, he's dressed like old-timey for some reason.
Alright, I guess I don't remember that clearly. I don't know, it was just supposed to be a scene in the movie.
Yeah, I remember they did have a scene that they cut out. They were wearing outfits for some reason. I cannot remember, but they cut it out because it didn't make sense or whatever, or they just wanted to get rid of that scene.
Yeah.
And then put it into the montage. So, Lewis is basically fucked. He's walking around.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's going on. Completely possessed. And I forgot who calls. They call the Ghostbusters on. They call the Ghostbusters on him.
No,
they find him somehow. No,
he gets arrested.
Yeah, he gets arrested and they run into him.
And they don't know what to do with him because he says he's possessed. And they're like, you take care of
him. Like, you guys normally deal with this kind of shit. You take this. Take this guy. This fucking fella.
Where's this accent from?
I don't know. I was trying to New York back in the 80s or 70s. No, it was 80s.
So why are you using old-timey Irish like talk and shit?
I'm not giving accents. What you doing this over? I'm not giving accents at all.
Oh, what you hear? You take this guy and fucking put him in away in the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters? You fucking fella. Here you go, little fella. Take him. anyway.
And then he brogue kicked the shit out of him. And then they hook him up to that, the fucking strainer with tubes and shit on it.
Yeah. I want to skip to something they say at the end of the movie, but I'll tell you that later. Like, when we get to that point.
Yeah, alright.
But, so basically they hook him up. They try to find out what's going on. They think he's kind of crazy, but they're finding paranormal activity in his head.
Yeah, they hook him up to that, strainer, like I said. And they see that the image on the screen is like a dog head.
Yeah.
And then that's when they're like, oh fuck, something's going on.
Yeah.
We kind of get Venkman occasionally going to talk to Dana.
Yeah, because he's still trying to hit it.
Mm-hmm. And he goes back to check on her because Lewis was her neighbor.
Yeah, and Dana's just floating. And his first thoughts, to go try to get some pussy.
Well, he's not really, he's kind of like, I don't want to do it like this and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're possessed. And the scene where she floats in the air and turns and spins. Practical effect.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that would be practical.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier about how they have, like, some that hold up really well.
I wonder how they did it, because it still holds up, Blu-ray or not, very well.
Apparently, like, it was, like, a body cast, and they had some, like, other shit going on. I don't know. It's all practical, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. Man, we get a lot of practical effects like that. Eventually, because she's possessed, doesn't he lead to tell the rest of the guys, like, hey, she's totally fucked over?
Yeah, and they kind of have the idea that they're trying to get to each other in a way.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray leaves her there.
Yeah, he's totally like, deuce.
Yeah, whatever.
Call me when you're not fucking crazy and possessed. Maybe we can talk.
And that's when, God, what's his name? Walter Peck.
Yeah.
From the EPA shows up at the Ghostbusters headquarters. And, remember, he's, like, trying to shut him down?
Yeah, he's upset that... He doesn't really understand how everything works.
Yeah, he also doesn't believe him and shit.
Yeah, so he's like, he thinks they're frauds and they're taking everyone's money.
Yeah, they're wasting power.
Yeah, he wants to shut down... I forgot what it's called. The big storage device they have. It has a name for it.
Containment unit? I don't know.
Yeah, basically what's shut down the containment unit. And, they didn't want them to do that because clearly bad shit would happen if it never happened.
Yeah.
And he's giving them a hard time, looking into them. I think he gets into it with Peter when he shows up.
Yeah. He gets into it with everybody, really.
Yeah, but Peter, you know, being as smart as he is, they go into a meeting, go into a dick measuring contest. Not literally. But, you know, it's like...
Because he shows up and, like, Egon's, like, standing in the way. And then I think Venkman comes after watching or seeing Dana to tell Egon and them about it.
Yeah.
And that's when they get into it.
So you get that. You get him. He's from the mayor, actually, right?
Yeah. Well, he's going to tell the mayor. He works for the EPA.
No, but I think he was working with the mayor on this, checking into it for the mayor.
The mayor,
he probably manipulated the mayor to get his way.
Yeah, because the mayor kind of seemed to be all right with it when they go see him.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I don't care. They're not hurting anyone.
And so he shuts down the containment unit, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And that's when we get, Slimers in the goddamn hot dog cart. And
don't we get another Ray Parker Jr. song during that scene?
Do we?
I think so. Completely different song. At that same time, you know, we get, like, Slimer free. We got this paranormal activity happening, and then your favorite scene with the cab driver?
Yeah, the zombie cab driver.
Yeah.
Apparently, they had an idea that a girl would be, like, walking down the runway at, like, a model show, like, modeling clothes, and her coat would come alive and, like, attack her.
Yeah.
And that would later be used for Ghostbusters 2.
Which I think was pretty... That was creepy.
It was cool. They had a
it
lot.
Was good and creepy in Ghostbusters
They had a lot of cool stuff in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, they did.
The baby cart, like the maid, old maid looking bitch with the baby cart. Oh,
old maid looking bitch.
I didn't know what to say.
Did you really just say old maid looking bitch?
Yes. She's a ghost. And she's evil. I can't call her a bitch.
God. Jesus. So... Yeah, so all hell broke loose. They get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of like... Remember at one point they try to explain exactly what's happening? All the prisoners get around them.
Yeah, like they're all in on it.
Yeah.
Like, and, oh man, is this what's going on?
Like, God, man. Seriously.
Like, somehow they get the blueprints for Dana's apartment building in jail.
Wasn't Winston not even there? They picked him up anyway?
I think he was there.
No, he was. I don't think he was there at the building, but they picked him up from wherever he was. To arrest him anyway when they arrested the Ghostbusters.
Maybe. He was in jail with them.
He was in jail with them, but I think he mentions he wasn't even with them when that shit happened.
Maybe. That's fucked up. He's at home and shit. He broke into his house Batman style.
He was always one of my favorite characters. Simply because... I mean, he wasn't my favorite Ghostbuster, but he was one of my favorite characters of the Ghostbusters. Simply because... He was our way to see how crazy shit is. Like, this world they live in is all fucked up, but they're used to it, where he's the every guy for us to be like, man, this really fucking sucks. Yeah. I can imagine that, too. They're doing some science stuff that gets them in trouble. He gets put in jail because
association. Yeah. I just work for him, man.
I'm not a
real Ghostbuster. I'm an employee.
Yeah, they get the Twinkie reference, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's one big Twinkie.
Yeah.
And, well, that was before all this. But while they're in jail, they look at the blueprints for Dana's building.
Yeah. They found it's some kind of antenna.
Yeah, some guy during World War I built it as a gateway to contact Zool.
Yeah.
Or, not Zool, who's the other one? The big guy? Gozer?
Yeah.
So that he could, like, save them during World War I and shit. I don't know, it was all dumb.
Yeah. But I remember all that happening. I remember at this time... The gatekeeper and the keymaster get together, do a little bit of demon making out, mm-hmm. and then they go to the roof and I guess start planning whatever the fuck they're gonna do.
Well, they get turned into the dogs.
Yeah, but they do get turned into dogs. Because they summon the main demon, right?
They summon Gozer.
Yeah. It's actually a summoner or him. What?
It's a lady.
What?
It's a Slovakian lady.
But isn't it, well, yeah, in the movie, but isn't it kind of like no sex, whatever?
What do you mean?
Like, I guess it was like a unisex or whatever. Or was it actually a female?
It was actually a lady. It was a lady character. Like, a lady was playing that character.
Yeah,
but it was characters. Just somebody in, I guess, a human form.
Oh, okay. So it was just a... I know the lady's playing a character, but... the goddess. I guess it doesn't really matter. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
I think you are. It was just supposed to be some demon.
Yeah, so I just figured it doesn't matter about the sex. It was just whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that happens. And then they finally convince the mayor. They tell the mayor, hey, crazy shit's happening. You're getting all these phone calls.
Yeah, we're the only ones who can do anything. And you got us locked up in jail.
Yeah. He's like, get the Ghostbusters out there. Give them everything they need. So they live it up. Like, fucking cars, police cars following them around. And
crowds of
people. And when I found out, Ron Jeremy.
Oh, when the containment unit blows up, Ron Jeremy's in the left-hand corner.
Yeah.
When, Winston and, Dan Aykroyd's character.
Yeah.
Winston and, what's his name?
Winston and, Ray?
Yeah, Winston and Ray pull up in the Ecto-1. That's how they get arrested.
Yeah, that's how they, Actually, they were driving around that time period. They were just driving around, patrolling or doing whatever the hell they were doing. And they start talking about the end of days. And Winston draws some biblical stuff on them. Mm-hmm. About the dead walking the earth, which is basically kind of happening.
Yeah. Well, it had been happening before.
Yeah.
But you have to, I guess you have to assume that because Gozer was like breaking through.
Yeah.
It's why all the paranormal shit happened to begin with.
Yeah. So the Ghostbusters are freed. They actually go up to actually bust the ghost to like save the day. And then that's where we get the fucking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, well, that's
the idea of like wherever you think of. She makes it where wherever you think of will be your destruction.
Uh-huh, and they're like, think of nothing.
Yeah, fucking Ray. Fucking Ray thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
He's like, he was always my friend, and I never thought he'd be able to hurt us. And then you get an awesome man in a fucking Stay Puft suit.
Kicking over like fucking cars and stuff. They did a good job of blending him in with the city.
And the little set that they just had a guy walk through?
Yeah, they had the guy walk through the set, but they blended in so well that it still stands up. It actually looks real.
I like the Stay Puft, but he looks cool.
Yeah. The set, it's no Batman set. You remember when the fucking, the Batwing crashes or the Batplane crashes? And you see like trucks and stuff like fake?
Yeah.
Everything's modeled out. It doesn't look like that. It actually stands up.
I guess if you pay attention to it, you can see that nothing's moving and shit.
Yeah, they're just all modeled out for the Batman movie.
Apparently, the movie was supposed to have more than one giant monster in it.
But production money or something or what?
Yeah. They couldn't afford it.
Wow.
And, like, even the original script had Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in it. So I wonder why they're like, yeah, let's keep this.
Yeah. But, yeah, he shows up. He steps on a church. Pisses off Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody steps in a church in my town. They actually shoot him to kind of just send him on fire, which makes things 1,000 times fucking worse. Because now you got this big ass fucking thing on fire. They cross the streams to save the day.
Well, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man explodes. And I don't know if people can tell, but the dude who worked for the EPA and was a real asshole to them, you know, the guy who has no dick?
Yeah.
He gets hit with, like, 1 billion gallons of fucking marshmallow.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, all that stuff was shaving cream. Like, all the fluff that's covering the Ghostbusters is shaving cream.
Yeah, that's why I hear. It's, like, mad shaving cream everywhere.
And he said that it was so heavy that when they, like, dropped it on him, it fucking knocked him to the ground.
Shit.
And, yeah, like, eventually fucking the demon comes out.
Yeah.
I guess you're so hung up on whether it's a man or a woman.
I don't know. I mean, I think they kind of geared it towards being a dude, and they turn out to be a woman. But then it's like, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter about sex. But I guess, you know, I'm looking too much into the sex of demons, I guess you could say.
Yes. I'll go ahead and say yes.
They're still evil.
And I guess we didn't drop earlier the fucking don't cross the streams thing.
Yeah, they actually mentioned that earlier. Actually, the first time they actually go to bust Slimer, they mentioned not to cross the streams. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, we gotta cross the streams.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. That we weren't supposed to do this. Oh yeah, don't remember this? Are you a god? No? Then die? Yeah, risk that.
Ray, next time someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
So, they cross the streams, they save the day, explode the Marshmallow Man, Stay Puft dies. They think that Dana died, but of course she's still alive, just inside a fucking statue dog.
Yeah.
So, they pull her out. Early Terrence Cole, Terrence Letterbox. <'Cause, you> know, I don't know why, but the whole movie's like, you know, regular frame, but at the very end, Terrence Letterbox, widescreen.
Well, yeah.
Nowadays, you can't tell.
You can get it in widescreen.
Yeah.
But, originally, Rick Moranis' character, Lewis,
yeah,
was supposed to be trapped in the dog-like statue forever. And he was going to be a dog statue, like, in the middle of Central Park.
That's fucking sad.
Yeah.
We don't need that. I'm glad I cut that out.
And, but we get the cool line in Ghostbusters 2 where he's like, I was a dog once and these guys saved me.
Yeah. The worst lawyer ever.
And I guess that's pretty much it. We get like a shot of the streets where these kids are like holding up Ghostbusters shirts.
Yeah, everybody's partying their ass off. Get this one dude dancing his ass off on top of a car.
Oh, man. In the commentary, Ivan Reitman says that after the movie came out and he was walking around New York,
yeah,
that he saw all kinds of knockoff Ghostbuster shirts for sale.
Shit.
And he made a joke in the commentary where he's all like, man, if, because they show the shirts being shook around.
Yeah.
He's like, if only we could have gotten a cut of that fucking Times Square knockoff money. We'd be rich.
But it's a good movie, fun movie. Really enjoy. Still holds up to this very day. I enjoyed the second one as well. A lot of people like part one better than part two. Or I think part two is inferior. I do like part one better than part two, but for mostly, I like part two better than part one for a long period of time throughout my childhood. But I love them both equally, I guess you could say, in the end. I like to watch them back to back.
Oh, I guess we didn't touch on the Ray Parker Jr. song.
Yeah.
Of, so, the song's in the movie. The song was, like, nominated for a Grammy?
Yeah, it was.
And it, like, won an Emmy?
Yeah.
Like, the song had awards and stuff and shit. And
yeah.
They made a music video that was on MTV.
Yeah, with the Ghostbusters and everyone else for the 80s.
And you'll never be able to, like, have that video on a DVD or Blu-ray ever.
Why?
Now, this is a funny story. They, when the song came out, they were sued by Huey Lewis from Huey Lewis and the News because he said the song sounded a lot like his song, I Want a New Drug.
Hmm.
So, they settled out of court and with an agreement that they'll never be able to talk about the, like they can't legally talk about the court case, like in public.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll never have the music video. They can't, like, legally put out the video or anything like that now.
So you get on YouTube or something like that, but you can't actually own it.
Yeah. You can download the song, but, you know, the rights and the, where your money's going is all up in the air.
Yeah.
And, interestingly enough, they actually went to Huey Lewis at first to write a song for Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard he passed on it because it was silly. And he went to Ray Parker Jr., who was like, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Who's an amazing guitar player. The music he's written throughout his entire career is amazing. But he'll always be forever known for the Ghostbuster guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? He fucking loves it. He's fine with it.
I figure why not? Like, you have one song. I don't think you see fucking... What's a Rick Astley getting mad about Never Gonna Give You Up?
Yeah. And, you know, he's had, like, a bunch of hits. He did have a bunch of hits, but that was just his biggest one.
Yeah.
If you listen to his guitar playing, that's like his weakest guitar playing, it seems like. And, you know, the funniest part about it is the fucking trumpet in the song. One of his friends did it, like, playing around. Like, come on, just make a new song for the movie. He did a little da-da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, man, that's silly. Nobody's going to listen to that kind of shit.
Apparently, I was looking this up about the song, but he, like, literally came up with the song, like, overnight.
Yeah.
And in the song, all the people who are cheering Ghostbusters are literally just people around him at the time when he was recording the song.
Wow.
It was just like his girlfriend, whoever was hanging around, the sound engineer, just put him in a booth and everyone go, Ghostbusters!
The song is like, you know, it wasn't really his best work.
No.
But it's his most well-known work. He's fine with it. If your best, if your okay work you've done is phenomenal, then what does it say about you?
I mean, I feel like you kind of have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, people aren't going to go out and look for your other shit because they only know you as the Ghostbuster guy.
Yeah.
But at least you got some sweet Ghostbuster money to fall back on.
Hell yeah. It's currently still getting some sweet Ghostbuster music.
Music? Money. Money music?
Money music. Music money. Money music. Because they're going to use it. They're going to use it in the next movie. if they ever do release the next movie, they use it on the video game.
Yeah, they use most of the voices of the cast in the video game.
Yeah. I mean, they're always going to use that song. They're going to use it for, like, whatever. It's always going to get airplay, at least around Halloween or whatever.
Yeah, it was on the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah, it was on that.
They fucking cock-rocked it up for the Extreme Ghostbusters song.
Yeah, because Bustin' makes me feel good. And it's going to be at parties.
Go find the Extreme Ghostbusters song on YouTube, people.
Go find that song. Yeah, the best part about the Ghostbusters movie and the cartoon was the toys, the action figures you got. I think everyone had that Egon. You move his arm, his mouth falls open.
Stupid
shit. Or they had Slimer with the little pack on the back where you push it down, slide because out of his mouth.
They had a lot of toys. I remember one, they had like a cord, you like pulled it.
Yeah.
And it was like a purple monster that would shoot out sparks out of his mouth and it would like go across the floor.
Yeah. They had proton packs.
Yeah, with the stupid foam that you stuck at the end of it to make it look like you're shooting a laser.
Yeah, the fucking trap, which I loved.
That you press the button and it like opened up and shined like a light of a ghost on the ceiling.
Yeah, it was that.
There was also one that was just kind of like you squeeze the two parts together and it shot out like a marshmallow looking thing.
I think they didn't make one based upon part two, the little slime thing they had, slime pack.
Did they?
I think so. I had to enter one.
The toy,
the vehicle. But I didn't have enough Ghostbusters, so I had like
Batman,
Egon and Batman and Robocop. Robocop riding shotgun.
And they drove into Castle Grayskull and
what I always wanted but I never could get it was the fucking Statue of Liberty.
That was a playset?
Yeah, that Statue of Liberty playset.
I know they had the firehouse or whatever the hell, headquarters, that was a playset.
Yeah.
And you even put them on, like, the little pole thing, and it would spin around.
Yeah, Ghostbuster shirts, never out of style. If you see somebody wearing a Ghostbuster shirt, you just smile. I'm like, ah.
I own a Ghostbuster shirt. I just don't know where it is.
I want one.
I used to have one. I don't know where the hell it went.
I was a kid. I don't know where the fuck it's at now. Clearly, I've outgrown it.
Yeah. But, man, I'm trying to think of some other, like, the other toys. There was one that was stupid as fuck. It was a football player. That you have to bend him over, like turn around and bend him over, like you're trying to look up his asshole.
What?
And his back would pop open and he would turn into like a monster.
I don't know about that shit.
And they had like a garbage man who was holding a garbage can. And you would pick his arms up and put the garbage can over his head and he would turn into a monster. They had dumb toys now that I think about it.
That's some really stupid shit back in the day.
They had like a big Stay Puft Marshmallow Man you could buy.
You ever tried to make a Ghostbusters bust Beetlejuice?
Make his head spin. I think the only, like, besides maybe the movies and the shirts, another long-lasting thing from Ghostbusters, Ecto-Cooler? You don't know about Ecto-Cooler?
No.
Okay, when the cartoon and the movie were popular, Hi-C came out with a flavor of Hi-C.
Oh, I remember with the little Slimer on there?
Yeah, that's Ecto-Cooler.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was green. I think it tasted nasty, but I can't remember too well.
Yeah, I drank it anyway. I didn't give a shit.
It was like fucking mandarin orange and key lime or some shit. I don't know. It was a weird mixture of fruits.
It was. I wonder if like the actress ever got any piece of that. Probably not, huh?
Who?
Like, I guess Bill. Well, I know probably Dan Aykroyd. Maybe. And Harold Ramis got a cut of it. All the merchandise.
I know Harold Ramis and Ivan Reitman are credited as screenwriters. Yeah. And I think Dan Aykroyd has, like, a story by credit.
Yeah.
So, you would think they get cut of the merchandise.
Yeah. I don't know if Bill Murray gets any of it.
I don't know. I mean, they kind of use... Well, they don't really use the likenesses for the cartoon, so maybe not.
Well, they kind of, but, you know...
They really cartoon him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Murray did change a lot in the cartoon. He wasn't balding. The fucking Egon had, like, white hair.
Yeah.
And... They cartooned him up, I guess, is what I'll say.
Yeah, they did enough to change him enough where they could use him for whatever purposes without actually being sued. For likeness, I guess. Kind of like what they do with James Bond sometimes, where they release a new video game, but there's not a current Bond. Like in between Daniel Craig and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. And it's nondescript. You just look over his shoulder.
Out of that, it kind of looks sort of like Sean Connery, but not really. Sean Connery-ish, I guess.
Yeah. He sort of sounds like Bane coming through your computer.
Yeah.
But not really.
Well, that's all we have for today's show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Please rate us, review us, subscribe to us. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Julian.
And I bid you a good day.